ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
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 ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 7. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan napina lipyade. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. We don't have devotion, we are not pure, we cannot control our mind and senses, and we are not dear to everyone. And everyone is not dear to us. And we always work and we always get entangled. This is our condition. But Krishna says something quite opposite to this normal condition, conditioned state. Srila Prabhupada said, one who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being. And every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as a separate from Krishna, just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. He knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all, he is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled, and because his mind is completely controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance for his being deviated from Krishna, nor there is a chance that he will engage in his senses in the matter other than service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics of relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna, and he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. One may ask, why then was Arjuna offensive in the battle to others? Wasn't he in Krishna consciousness? Arjuna was only superficially offensive because he has already been explained in the second chapter. All the assembled persons on the battlefield will continue to live individually, as the soul cannot be slain. So spiritually no one was killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only their dresses were changed by the order of Krishna, who was personally present. Therefore, Arjuna, while fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was not really fighting at all. He was simply carrying out the order of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Such a person is never entangled in the reaction of the work. This is the art of living in Krishna consciousness. It's very important that when we believe in Krishna, then we should have full faith in him. Half-cooked faith due to attachment is dangerous. If we are devoting our life to Krishna, then we should not be miser in any respect. But that conviction cannot come unless and until The devotee is inspired devotee. Means association is so much important. Otherwise, that conviction on Krishna never comes. It is said here that how to come out from the mess of samsara, entanglement is always there. How to come out? How to become dear to Lord? How to become dear to everyone? How to control our senses and how to control our mind? A devotee by nature is inclined to progress towards this end. He doesn't want to remain in half-cooked position or lukewarm devotion. Fire of devotion will lead us to spontaneous devotion. And for spontaneous devotion, we need somebody's help who is doing spontaneous devotion. Vaidhi bhakti is required up to the stage of ruchi. When we get enough taste and we are following four regulative principles, we are chanting our rounds very nicely, our preaching to others is also applicable, and we try to live an honest life of a devotee. These are all good virtues that come along by performing devotional service to Lord Krishna. But when unwanted things in our life are eradicated, then it means we do not indulge in unnecessary activities that will hamper our devotional service. Then what happens? We'll get confirmation. Right now, we in the half-cooked stage of our devotion, we struggle because we don't have confirmation. Confirmation requires verifiability. We have to keep on verifying. Therefore, we need a constant association of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. These are the three measures of our conformity. It's not that apparently I will do something which is not practical, then I will hide it, but try to keep a status quo from outside. This kind of behavior is not good. Because Krishna in the heart, who is sitting near the soul, the super soul in the heart is sitting near the soul itself. We may employ our gross senses, mind, intelligence, just to hide those weaknesses, but super soul knows everything. So the rebellion starts within. Rebellion within our own heart starts with, how long can I cheat? How long I will hide myself in the veil of deception? How long will I be able to befool not only the fellow devotees but Lord Krishna, who is sitting in our own heart? This rebellion starts within, means it requires purification. But more one is concerned, aware of all this, more he will be able to employ his desire to stop it. So thus purified from inside and out, one will become more and more dear. There is a system of confession of the weaknesses. But this system of confession is not at all conducive if he is not having something to hold on that will support his repentation. If you go in the church, every weekend they go to church just to confess of all their sinful activity they have done. They have believed, they donate, they do whatever they can do, but every weekend they go and confess to the priest. Alright? But this confession is not enough, because it tends to make them repeatedly doing the same thing over and over again every week. You know? So habitual confession becomes so callous and does not help us to purify the inner consciousness that we are cheating, hiding. Sukadeva Goswami answers this question of Parikshit Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, what makes this thing failure? That however person may be pious and he has an aptitude to confess, yes, I have sinned, my father, please forgive me, because I trust Lord Jesus Christ, he has died, he has shed his blood for me, my sin. So I believe in you. Please forgive me. And the priest said, my dear boy, you are forgiven. But as soon as he goes out, there goes the sinful activity. So, what kind of repentance is required that he will stop committing such offenses over and again? The senses are not controlled, therefore the mind is not controlled. Simply giving lip service to the one who is supposed to be purified in front of him and to confess means showing an apparent honesty is not resolving the problem. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami answers to Parikshit Maharaj's question of the failure of repentance. Sukadeva Goswami says that repentance is required which will awaken the sleeping soul. The sleeping soul is sleeping under the lap of Maya, the witch. And he is not aware about the necessity of the soul. The inner purification can come about not by apparent practice following four regulative principles, etc. It comes about one that starts cleansing from within, the deepest, the root. And that is called Cheto Darpana Maharjana. Unless and until a repentance of awakening that awakens the sleeping soul is there, there is no question of, you know, refrain from sinful activity. So that kind of repentance is required that awakens the sleeping soul. Corporal punishment or this and that doesn't work there, because it's more subtle than the psychology. So the idea is that we are not having a complete awareness of Krishna consciousness. In half-cooked stage, our consciousness is not purified, even though we may do apparent all practices. Our progress is chopped towards the liberation, towards the realization that as part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, I must be in one with Him, in servitude. I am servant of the maintainer of gopis, Lord Shri Krishna. So service can be rendered only in association with the devotees. Service to the holy name, service to the devotees, services to everything that concerns Lord Krishna is again chid vaibhav. We were talking in the morning about the opulences of manifested opulence in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, the spiritual energy has to manifest. So, unless and until spiritual energy is manifested, how are we, you know, realizing it? Where is the possibility of realizing? But this manifestation of spiritual energy is coming in the form of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So unless and until we chant properly, we advance in the efficacy of the holy name, we advance and become more in tune with the holy vibrations, then they start revealing stuff that follows. By chanting so much attentively, mind is automatically controlled. He becomes so much aware that he would not want to indulge his senses into an activities of sense gratification. Rather, he will engage in these senses in the service of Lord Krishna. Right? That is bhakti. If we are engaging, but it is not fully or wholeheartedly, because that awakening has not come. Even though we do the rituals. So how to become Vijitatma? How to become Jitendriya? Atma means mind here. Vijitatma means one who has conquered his mind. But without Vijitendriya, how come one becomes Vijitatma? First become Vijitendriya. Control the senses. But the process of chanting Hare Krishna is automatically control the senses. So one has to progress whether I have become Vijitatma. Have I conquered my mind? Is mind peaceful? Otherwise, so many things that is deep down within our heart has not yet purified. But rest assured, in the association of the devotees, we get strength of divinity, divine. And that association can help us to progress further. Then we can become a devotee in real sense. Become devotee in real sense. So, how did Arjun was pleasing to everyone? He was killing his kinsmen. Certainly, there is no question of pleasure there. His activities may not be pleasing to them. But actually, Arjun did not want to fight, so it is not his obligation. They were ready to fight. They were compelled to fight. Like Bhishma Pitama, even the pure devotees, they were compelled to fight and they knew the outcome in advance. But because they were playing the part to fight against Lord Krishna's will, however, strong vow Krishna Pitama has taken, but this vow was material in nature. Krishna broke his own promise to smash that material vow. It's not that because Bhishma Pitama took the vow that he will kill one of the Pandavas in this war. And I think this was on 16th day of the war when Bhishma Pitama passed away. But he took on that day the vow just because he could not tolerate the insult of Duryodhan. Duryodhan told him that you are not fighting enough because you have still some compassion for the Pandavas. Behavior of Pandavas were very, very ideal and pleasing. And the enemies took disadvantage of it. But Bhishma Pitama and others were very pleased. They never objected that even in trying circumstances, they did anything wrong, morally, spiritually. But Bhishma Pitama was there to incite the anger of Lord Krishna to compel him to give up his, to break his promise. So Lord Krishna reciprocated to the desire of Bhishma Pitama. Lord is compelled to reciprocate with his pure devotee because it is pleasing to him. Otherwise, do you think Krishna would, even without taking up a weapon, can kill Bhishma Pitama? It didn't take much time for Lord Krishna to decide that he wants to annihilate the whole Kuru dynasty, including those who are fighting on his side. And Bhishma Pitama was fixed up. He was cornered in such a way by such insult that on that day he said, either I will lay my life or I will kill one of the Pandavas. Then you will be happy, Duryodhan. You are insulting me. But that was his cornered position. He was stuck. He wouldn't regret, but because he considered this is my devotional service. He was Vijitatma. He never did out of any passionate situation. Bhishma Pitama, he did not, conduct himself out of the three modes of material nature. This was his devotional service to Krishna. And Krishna reciprocated that. So the idea is that Krishna already decided to kill the Pandavas. Right? Therefore, Kauravas. So therefore the Pandavas were not forced. If Krishna has decided, they are already dead. But because this act of fighting on behalf of Krishna is pleasing to Krishna, therefore it became devotional service. Kaurava never objected. They were ready to fight with the Pandavas. Right? So they were the aggressor. This was fighting for the defense and the right. So devotees are pleasing even to the envious people. Therefore, as a rule, there was a conduct that after the fighting is over, when the sun sets, the fighting should be over, And the rule that they will all meet together, congratulate each other's, you know. But the real congratulation is not on the skill and that they were used. It's an apron. Actual congratulation to the Pandavas when it comes, this is as a service to Lord Krishna. So devotees congratulate differently. Even the enemies were supposed to congratulate by such a valor and this and that. So even Kauravas were shown. But the spiritual aspect of understanding about the pleasure of the devotees and Krishna is very, very important. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. They are benevolent for everyone. To kill on behalf of Krishna is a benevolence. It's a benevolence. To act on behalf of Krishna is always kind and considerate. It is never a violation. So naturally the devotees like Pandavas would take up by proper understanding. Right? So sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvanna pina lipyate. Even though performing such activities which is materially contradicting, but it is liberating. Na lipyate. These activities of devotional service work in this way. So that kind of understanding and the strength for us to perform spontaneous devotional service should come. Then and then, all that is weaknesses of the heart will go away. It is like simultaneously. If somebody's weaknesses from the heart are going away by proper atonement, proper purification, because he is a soul not sleeping in the lap of Maya. You know, he is pure. He is purified by the spontaneous devotional service. You know, so such a man, even though working, it is meant for Krishna, pleasure of Krishna, approved by Krishna, like that. The Guru approves. Go ahead, and you will never get entangled. So in the degree of our quality of devotional service, we are, you know, advanced. Not how much are we doing. In the degree of our quality of devotional service. So if we are lukewarm in devotional service, means half-cooked, not fully cooked up in the devotional service. The fire is there. But it is a smoky situation. It will not get proper heat. Either the cooking will take time or it will remain only half cooked. So, association of the devotees is rekindles the fire of devotional service. So like that. So a Krishna conscious person is always working in devotion, and therefore automatically he is Vishuddhatma, purified. Vijitatma, he is Jitendriya. He says sarva bhutatma bhutatma, and even though he is performing, he is not entangled. Otherwise, those who are half cooked, they will keep on sinning week after week and begging forgiveness. That is not going to work. The soul must be properly awakened, fanned, just like flaming fire. Not smoky business like that. So we have to take advantage, chant our rounds in association, perform devotional service in the association, you know, offer everything in the association of devotees. Don't do anything without association of the devotees. It is very simple. Sometimes people out of false ego think, well, there is a lot of politics there. What is the use to go to temple? I have temple in my home. Huh? Better, I will do my puja and ganti bajave. But half-cooked situation will be there. We must see that even though there are politics, but there are, this is the proper apparatus, vehicle to convey the system of pure devotional service. Because the Hare Krishna movement is spiritual in nature, and the institution is material in nature. But this institution is overseeing the authority of the standard of all these aspects of spiritual life. Proper association, proper knowledgeability, the standard, whether this person is bluffing or trying to, you know, explain what Krishna says in his favor. So the idea is that we have to utilize each and every moment of association for our own benefit. This inspiration is still available in ISKCON. Alright? It is very sad to see many others who are coming and that they get entangled into controversies. Because they are not running like an institution. It's a one-man show. Maybe a highly charismatic or this or that. This Maharaj and that Maharaj and this. But if they don't have proper vehicle to convey the association, but, you know, it becomes an individual sectarian aspect. They can't penetrate the hierarchical structure that Prabhupada organized. They cannot. The outsider, they remain outsiders. They simply try to steal something, pull you out. Okay, better. I will reinitiate you. They don't know. Your Guru Maharaj did not give you enough. You know? Don't worry. I will take care of you. But that is not required. There is no purification in it. One does not become even Vijitatma or Jitendriya by such thing. Because the heart is not properly purified. There is no spontaneity. Those who have left, like Ritviks, you know, and ex-Maharajis and this, you know, they never come to any of this description. Rather, they are more angrier and angrier. They are creating more obstacles, you know. Neither they are running an institution of its own caliber, neither by proper behavior they are setting up an example of the development of devotional service. So, we don't have to be, you know, dissuaded. If we take the association, take a proper association. And that is the function of ISKCON, not anybody else. So anybody has any question? I don't know why did I choose this subject, but it is there. It's a very practical approach is there. We have to push out our lukewarm situation and put it in the fire of devotion.
Maharaj, you mentioned that confirmation requires verifiability. Could you explain more about what you mean by that?
Confirmation?
Yeah, requires verifiability.
Confirmation. How would you get confirmation?
Confirmation what, that we're making progress?
Yes. That your faith is genuine. How will you confirm? These are the three mediums of confirmation.
Three mediums?
Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Right? So, we have to keep on verifying. Are we really progressing? Are we really staying in the lukewarm position? Or really entering into or jumping into the fire of devotion? Are we going with a kind of attitude of spontaneous devotion, response in the services? There are politics, this group and that group. And try to... It's not like healthy competition. Because when anarthas are not going away, how could one become Vijitendriya? How could one become Vijitatma? How come he is pleasing everyone? Because everyone is surrounded. He is surrounded by the senses. He is surrounded by the mind. But he is surrounded by the fellow devotees also. And the conflict comes because the lack of Krishna consciousness or the commitment is a lukewarm devotee. It's not jumping into the fire of devotion. So, everyone has to work, but our work is entangling. It slows down the devotion. Or within the allotted seva, or service in the temple, one does not perform properly. Or he says, I'm getting tired. I'm not enlivened by washing pots. Or you are a slob, or you are a cook, you are burning all the time the dal. Something is not becoming conducive, rather than there is some kind of, inner inattentiveness, inner awakening, is lacking there. Otherwise, those who are in spontaneous devotion, they will reach out everywhere, engage everywhere, not simply lip service, but perform by perfect example. Because one who is in fire of devotion, and for that you don't have to be familiar. Jayanand, Prabhupada's disciple, who was suffering from leukemia, but we have witnessed the fire of devotion in him. No complaint. Neither he ever complained, nor anybody complained about him. He was pleasing to everyone. Even the outsiders, he will make easy friendship. And people remember him. So they are gifted devotees, and in the sense that they are so fortunate that they are already in the stage of spontaneous devotion, and they are in fire of devotion. And we are thinking of so much entanglement, and that gives us not only lethargy but disappointments, and right? But we have to progress towards this. Unless and until one an example should be there, and the fire of devotion come and pushes us, take that association, it will help us. That awakening, that wakes up the sleeping soul, will stop all this lukewarm situation, repetition of the same mistakes will be there, it will be stopped. So chanting Hare Krishna will open up the path for everything that is positive, no negative situation. So when we are chanting attentively, then we will be enthused to also work. But if our attention is on the hampering subjects, then naturally we will not be enthused to chant even. And we will have excuses and excuses and excuses.
It's said that in Kali Yuga there's so many faults, and especially above all the mind is always disturbed. So realizing that the mind is always disturbed, how do we come to the point where the mind can be fully attentive to the holy name and ignore everything else that the mind wants to?
Yes, those who are in fire of devotion, just associate with them. Look for them.
But for grihasthas, mainly we have to chant by ourselves, or maybe one or two other family members if we're lucky.
No, the temple is still there.
But those who are living outside the temple,
they can take the advantage of maximum association too, if they desire. Otherwise, they are inviting the lukewarm position. They will be half cooked.
But then some might criticize that we're neglecting our grihastha duties because...
No. How can be? Because if this system is going to be pleasing for everyone, how it is going to be neglected? Can't grihastha come in fire of devotion? They can also come if they desire so. So they will make ways and means just to find out where is that association. So they will be always kindled up. No criticism. We have to try our best. But this is the system. If we want to be in the fire of devotion, we have to jump in where the fire is. Where there is smoke, there is fire. Right? This is the common... But you can't stay in the smoke. You have to work hard to fan it. So smoke will go away and the fire will come. You have to take the help. From the one who is in the fire, or who is in a better mood of performing selfless service. Associate with them. That is more important. Sannyasis are supposed to be in fire of devotion. Vanaprasthas are supposed to be in the fire of renunciation. They have to wear flaming red color. Those who are vanaprasthas. The grahasthas should also be in fire of devotion, but with cool head. When they become too much passionate and they think they will do, then there will be parity. It may not be able to compensate with that grihastha life. Probably he might get criticized from the wife himself. So, but he has to be cool-headed. Fire of devotion. There is a beautiful system in grihastha life that he has to expertly act from outside but detach from inside. That is the recommendation from him. How is he going to convert his activity as devotion without detachment from the heart? So fire of devotion will give the opportunity for detachment from the reactions of the activity. So he will be always free and enthusiastic. If he becomes bound up by the enjoying his results of his work, then that the fire of devotion will be killed, it will be extinguished. He will be bound up. You know? There won't be smoke even. It will be cool down situation. So even they are advised to associate. And the first and foremost association for the grihastha should be obtained from his guru. And they should work under the guidance of the guru. That's the fire of devotion.
And on another subject, just one small question.
Okay.
Bhishma Dev, was his consciousness affected by taking the food from Duryodhana and taking financial contributions?
No. There was no curse. It was an insult. But Bhishma Pitama took this insult as the opportunity for a decisive liberation. He knew. He was given the benediction that you can die at your desire. Otherwise death will not approach you. His father gave the benediction because he took a very strict vow just to please both the father and mother that he will never marry. Right? So, this vow was very exalted as a sacrifice that already purified him. Right? But this insult is not, you know, taken like that by Bhishma Pitama. But he took on that day Duryodhana. These insults are timely because I know what my destination is. You are not aware, but I will use this as an opportunity to fix my mind on my devotion to Lord Krishna. So, I will show such a valor that I will put one of the Pandavas into trouble and Krishna will be forced to save him. You know? And that day Bhishma Pitama showed such a valor that Arjuna was in problem. Srimad Bhagavatam describes beautifully this. So it's a devotion there. You know, fighting is an act of devotion. Yeah? The mood of Arjun and mood of Bhishma Pitama may be different, but Krishna releases both. You know? And he glorified that devotion of Bhishma Pitama, even though he was fighting from the enemy side. So it is transcendental in nature. It is devoid of the three modes of material nature. So our calculation about the spontaneous devotion is, there is no impediment of the effect of the three modes there. Got the idea? So, that's service. It yields the same result, the pleasure of the Lord. You may say, because Krishna broke the promise, Bhishma Pitama gave up the weapons because he was victorious. But Krishna then told, now he doesn't have weapon, you shoot him and kill him. So even at such a broken code of conduct, the code of conduct to fight against the one who is having no weapon. But Krishna told Arjun, this is your only chance. Come on, I want you to be victorious. So shoot him. This is also devoid of three modes of material nature. It's an act of reciprocation by Lord Krishna to fulfill his desire. He incites Arjun to kill. That is the God-ordained killing. Arjun understood with a very, very controlled mind, because his senses were totally devoted to fight on behalf of Krishna. So he was totally Krishna conscious. And he did not have a question at that time, I'm going to shoot my grandfather. Oh, Krishna, you do yourself, I don't want to do. No, he never said. He said, yes, I will do it. And there is no karma coming in between. There is no sinful activity. This is called devotion. People with the understanding of the three modes of material nature, they bring in this subject over and over again. But because they say, we have faith in Krishna, but we don't understand. That is the half-cooked situation within. And they don't understand that. So they have to be in the fire of association. Devotion through association. And then the progress will be there.